Hello and welcome to the Magnetic Woman podcast. I'm Pandora Paloma, life and business coach for women. I'm an author, speaker, mum of one, an all-round miracle and magnetism supporter. It is my mission to create change, to change how women think and feel, see their power and use their feminine force to become magnetic. I help women to live a life in alignment, elevate their mindset, expand their beliefs, and live their vision in life and business. Now for me, magnetism is about being flexible, resilient, in tune with intuition, and really harnessing the power of our mindset and beliefs with aligned action. It's learning to let life flow, not always striving and pushing, but also learning to be open to receiving in new and magical ways. This podcast is a sprinkle of magnetic energy from my corner of the world to yours. Well, I have a very, very, very special guest today because this beautiful woman, Nikki Clinch, is a dear friend of mine. So I'm thrilled to be able to have this time with her. Nikki is a maturation coach and facilitator. She's an integrative counsellor, author, her book launches next year, and mentor. And let's just say the conversation was deep, but beautiful. We talked about the process of growing and maturing. We talked about the gift of hindsight and these death and rebirth moments. And Nikki shares her very personal death and rebirth moments, really looking at her own journey with transformation, which is, of course, the theme of this podcast. We also looked at awakening and ownership and really understanding and believing in the power of the human spirit. So without further ado, welcome Nikki Clinch.
Nikki, we've known each other a long time and I'm so thrilled to have you in this space on the Magnetic Woman podcast. So welcome.
Oh, thank you, Pandora, for having me. And as you said, we've known each other a long time. I suddenly had like a flashback to like 9 years ago when you were studying and I was just starting. And gosh, haven't we come far? Lots of growth.
I know. I was thinking it was on Broadway Market. We met for a tea and oh my goodness.
Yes.
I think it just sort of really goes to show, well, in line with the theme of, you know, the series of podcasts, transformation and actually, you know, how we can transform big and small. And that's what we'll be obviously exploring today. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your work as a coach? I'm an integrative counsellor, obviously you're an author now. Tell me a little bit about how you, what you do and how you do it.
Okay, so I mean, I call myself a maturation coach and facilitator. And what does that mean? Maturation is a process of growing. It's a process of maturing. And, you know, I realized that, you know, the word transformation can be, it's kind of become a buzzword these days. And I in some areas, I feel like it's lost its meaning and context. And it's not something that we do to suddenly become a bigger, better version of ourselves, that the actual process is a growing, evolving process where we just become more of who we really are. We don't become another version of us. We become more of who we really are and who we've always been. So, you know, my work is really about helping, I particularly, you know, mostly work with women, helping women really heal the trauma and the wounds from the past that tend to keep them in a childlike state, even though we're in an adult body, and we're taller and we're bigger and we're doing adult things. So often we still have like, we're still like the child inside. And so healing those child wounds, healing those past wounds so that we, you know, they can really grow and evolve into their mature, empowered adult woman selves. And then the process just keeps going. You know, the process of growth is not just emotional, it's not just physical, but it's spiritual, it's everything. And the more that we mature, the more we have access to our full power, to our energy, to the life force. You know, I've also trained in Chinese medicine, and I realized, you know, how powerful it is to be able to work with someone on healing the trauma and the emotional self and the spiritual self, but also being able to work with the energetics of the body, you know, being able to create balance where there's imbalance, being able to use diet, lifestyle, movement, all these different principles and modalities to be able to create and support alignment. So, you know, my work is like I brought it all together and I help women heal and grow.
Amazing.
Long answer.
Amazing, amazing. I really like the idea of sort of what you mentioned around isolation, because it's very true, I think, in our day and age that we sort of think, well, if I fix this, then everything else will become sorted. If I fix this one thing over here. But of course, you know, we have to think 360, you know, how you eat will affect, you know, your relationship, and your relationship will affect, you know, how you are in business and how you show up to the world. And that will affect how you are, you know, if you're a mother. And I think it's really looking at actually all of our individual experiences, past and, you know, current. And I suppose, you know, you say sort of trauma keeps us sometimes in a bit of a childlike state. And I think a lot of people can often divert from the word trauma because, you know, it's like, oh, trauma, you know, no one really wants to talk about trauma. But of course, it's part of life. It is that individual experience. Now, trauma sort of feels like a very loaded word, but of course, there's small traumas as well. Can you explain, you know, what your sort of philosophy background is in terms of those bigger traumas and small traumas and actually how they can affect us?
Okay, so, you know, firstly, I want to say that trauma isn't actually big or small. There isn't really a way to measure whether it is a big or a small trauma, because trauma isn't so much what's actually happening to the person, but what's happening inside of the person as whatever is happening to them. So, you know, a human being can go through something relatively ordinary, but have a really, really strong internal experience to that. And that is what creates the trauma. Mm. And so it's not always like a car crash or abuse, you know, it can be anything that creates an experience inside the person that creates some form of shock, some form of split, some form of disconnection from our whole self. And so when trauma, you know, the incident may happen, but what makes it traumatic is the moment that we disconnect from our true self. Mm. That shock, that experience, that perception that's being formed in that moment gets us to leave ourselves. We begin departing our whole self. So, you know, I've worked with people who've gone through, you know, terrible abuse and abandonment, and their experience about it, and then their relationship to themselves as a result to it, has been the same to someone who got shut down in the classroom by a teacher in front of everyone. But the experience that happens inside is the same, because it's about the amount of fear that starts moving through, the amount of shock, the amount of shame, whatever it triggers on the internal landscape of the person, and then whatever beliefs are planted in that moment that then causes that person to identify with that moment. So, you know, let's say somebody is standing up and they make a mistake in a maths lesson and they're six, and the teacher laughs and everybody laughs. shame moves through that person, fear moves through that person. Maybe that human being is exceptionally sensitive. Maybe they're an introvert, so it's a really big experience for them. And then in that moment, a belief is planted. It's not safe for me to use my voice. Mm-hmm. And that becomes that person's life.
Yeah.
Now, so these points of trauma, they happen in everyone. Like, so I think that there's this idea that, you know, oh, I don't have any trauma. I don't have anything to work on because I haven't been in, you know, I hear it a lot. My childhood wasn't that bad. And then, of course, you know, when we start really doing the work, we realize there's, you know, everybody is carrying some form. And really what trauma is a moment of split, a moment of disconnection from our wholeness, because who we really are is wholeness. Mm. That's who we really are.
Yeah.
And so the trauma itself is the point in which we can look to show us the way back home.
Yeah, incredible. And it's just so, I think it really anchors this idea of, you know, it's individual experience. You know, just because something happened to you doesn't mean that somebody else will feel it and experience that in the same way, you know. And it's our journey is our journey, you know. It's nobody mm-hmm. else's. What you're feeling will always be you know, individual to you. And absolutely, when I've worked with sort of EFT and matrix on people, we've kind of gone in with a belief that's, you know, well, I'm not good enough, what I call the universal belief, but actually it's come out as something very, very, very different based on something mm-hmm. that they've experienced, which was, you know, I can't use my voice, or, you know, as you say, those sort mm-hmm. of things that can happen at a young age that form our beliefs, right? And then we re-experience them until we, you know, work on identifying them and healing them. But of course, you know,
yeah, and I think, you know, I think there's this idea that, you know, if we have any trauma, we need to find whatever way we can to get rid of it immediately. Like, I have to get rid of it, get it out of me. I actually have people say that, get it out of me. But actually, the trauma itself, it's like a little doorway. The trauma is only the symptom of the moment of the split. So you can only find your way back to that point, the original point that needs healing, by facing the trauma and going into it. That's literally the only way home.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing I want to say, just based on what you just said, is about the I'm not enough, the universal belief. You know, I think it's, in particularly in the time that we're in right now, you know, it's starting to really become clearer that it's not just what we've been through, but we've been living in a world that has rigged for us to believe that who we are is not already enough. Mm-hmm. We've been living in a society that has taught us to think that there's something wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And so we need to keep looking and searching and finding the thing that's going to finally make us better, rather than being taught and knowing from day one that, my God, we are immensely powerful and we can trust ourselves. You know, can you imagine living in a world that would teach us that from day one? We would be incredibly evolved beings on this planet.
My goodness, I know. And I think, you know, for me, the journey started with this particular journey, and getting to where I have got to today was, you know, really berating my body. And that was stemmed from not looking like everything I saw around me. You know, again, mm-hmm. a process by which we are led to believe that we are not enough, because, well, hang on a minute, my bum does not look like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's so interesting. I think, you know, I spent the best part of my teens and 20s, you know, just, you know, very, very dysfunctional relationship with my body and food. And, you know, now kind of in my 30s, it's like, oh, okay, right, so everybody is, you know, everybody is different, everybody is accepted. And I think, you know, that sort of really was my own sort of pivotal transformation, kind of working through that, which lends itself nicely to my question for you, which is, you know, what are your own pivotal sort of transformations or turning points in your life and your career that sort of really stand out to you?
Yeah, I've had a few, and I like talking about them, because I now, with the gift of hindsight, you know, I get to look back and go, wow, that was a miracle. Like, my God, my whole life changed. So I've had a few, and I call them like death and rebirth moments, because, you know, really something pivotal died, either an identity of myself or a way of, or something in my life or something I relied on just went. And through that disintegration came a rebirth, came something completely new. And I like talking about that because I think that's where we are now as well on the planet. So my first one was when I rock bottom from drug addiction. You know, I was a drug addict and a bulimic and an alcoholic and everything. You know, my drug of choice was Oblivion. So I just wanted escape. So I hit rock bottom at 20, and I was in a really bad way. And I was on the floor, like it was either I wasn't going to make it, or I was going to have to change everything about how I was living my life and the relationship I had with it. So, you know, when I look back on that, I was in the complete unknown. I had no idea how I was going to move forward, but I knew that where I was coming from was done. It was an absolute point of surrender. And now with hindsight, I can see, my goodness, that was the it was the end of something and the beginning of something completely unknown and new. And it was the beginning of my healing. Other pivotal points for me have been, normally they've been, you know, through some kind of breakdown. You know, my stepfather died very suddenly, and it just completely shocked me. My goodness, you mean people can just go like that? Like, I wasn't expecting it. And I came back from the funeral, and I was like, man, I better do something that I love with my life. I could go, like, there's no guarantees. So I went back to school and I trained to be in Oriental medicine and to be a counselor and to do the work I do now. And that was such a gift for my stepfather. And then last year, this is a big one, I talk about it a lot in my book that comes out next year. My marriage ended. You know, I came back from a retreat in the jungle in Peru, and I ended my marriage, and my son was just over one and my daughter was six, and my husband moved out, and it was devastating. But something unbelievable started to happen, like through the breakdown of something. I could see that everything that wasn't in alignment with my truth was just being taken away. And by showing up and doing the work and looking at all the points of separation and trauma within myself, something started to heal. And actually, 6 months later, my husband and I remarried. We renewed our vows, and we really do have a new marriage. I mean, it is literally completely different. You know, every time I've been through a transformation, there has been something has had to end in order for something new to come.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. I think we had a similar time frame, weren't we, with sort of the yes. ending of relationships. And mine was really mm-hmm. spurred by my sister passing away at like 42, and it just sort of you really, you know, death and grief just makes you think, what am I doing with my life, you know, where am I going? Because mm-hmm. life can be short, and that is a stark realization, you know, at 35 mm-hmm. now. It's like it's another 7 years, you know, so mm-hmm. let's make it really count. And, you know, we've just been speaking before we recorded about potentially moving abroad, and obviously you're moving to New Zealand. It's another sort of chapter for you, but so, you know, so powerful to be able to own that space and own that power within yourself to, you know, be taking those leaps, I think.
Yes, I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest gifts, as painful as it's come, from this massive collective breakdown we're going through, this pandemic, you know, because there's nothing quite like the threat of your health and life to make you reevaluate your life. Like, suddenly, when everyone is at some form of threat, you know, it forces us to look and go, oof, how am I actually living this life? Like, how am I spending my days? How am I using my breaths? Like, it's the gift of remembering that this isn't permanent. And I think we can easily just keep forgetting that, but it, you know, this isn't permanent, and every moment is a gift if we want it to be that way. So I'm moving to New Zealand. I can't wait.
So exciting. And of course, you know, this, what the planet is going through now is, I hope, deeply transformative, an awakening for many, I hope. But, you know, what do you believe? You know, how do you believe that we will move forward from this collectively? Or I suppose, how do you hope that we will move forward from this collectively?
Well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm not big on hope. I think my problem with hope is that I think that we as a species, we like hope a lot, because it kind of gives us this feeling that one day, someday, something good will come, if it will eventually come. But I think actually the reality is that we have to be the ones to participate,
to change.
It's not just going to come. Yeah, there's no one coming. There's no one going to come and save us. And I think we've been living in that mindset for far too long. And so, yes, we are in a transformative time, and it's going to be, if and it already is, exceptionally painful, because it's forcing us to really look at ourselves, all of us individually, and no one is going to come. We have to be the ones to create the change. A pandemic doesn't create transformation. It's how we respond to it that creates the transformation. And it requires each one of us to participate in some way. Mm. What do I believe? Oof, I believe that right now we are all in one massive transformation program. That's what it feels like. And I don't think anyone is going to get out of it. And each person is being forced to look at all the areas that are not working in themselves and in their lives. And it's uncomfortable, deeply uncomfortable. How much fear is running our life? Are we giving our power away? Do we trust ourselves? Are we in relationships that actually nourish us? Are we being people that are nourishing? You know, these are the questions that are coming up. And so I think we've still got a way to go, to be honest. It's like this is a marathon, not a sprint. I believe in the power of the human spirit. I believe we are exceptionally resilient animals, creatures. And my hope is that people will realize the value of life. Mm. And by that, we will change. Mm. And the changes will happen with small everyday changes, which become big changes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the rest of it. I don't know. I'm in the I don't know.
It's the theme of sort of ownership has been coming up a lot for me in conversations with clients and with friends. But it's sort of it's true. We have to take ownership now. You know, no one's riding. You know, no one's sort of driving this. You know, this train. It's kind of like we all have to do our bit and be a part of a process of change, you know, and to see what the change we want to be in. And Yeah, I think, you know, I hope that, I mean, I do hope that people can see it as an awakening for themselves, you know, to really take that life audit and then take ownership of the changes that they want to see, you know, on a small level and a macro level as well. But yeah, it's sort of pieces of a puzzle, isn't it? And just working towards putting that puzzle back together.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're so, it's so easy for us to look at the people, the leaders, or to the people outside of us and go, oh, they're doing a terrible job, or I don't believe in that, or God isn't Trump like this. But actually, the real healing is when we're willing to take ownership that each one of us has both shadow and light inside of us. You know, we judge, we blame. We do unloving things. We do both shadow and we do beautiful things. And when we are able to start being that responsible for how we are showing up, I think that's when something really remarkable is going to happen on this planet. So, you know, I think light workers like you and me and anyone who does this work, our sense of purpose is definitely ramped up, and the level of the transformation I'm seeing in people who have come to work with me this year is like 50 times bigger than any other time, and I believe that's because life really wants big healing now.
if you know, you could encourage people to start using a tool to transform their way of thinking or feeling or being, you know, something that perhaps is accessible to, for those who are listening to start using in their own worlds, what would it be? What would that sort of first step into a world of sort of transforming something, what would that be?
I think if I was going to say the first step, that would be starting to engage in a real self-inquiry, you know, taking the focus off out there. If he changes, if she changes, if my body changes, if I change my job, if I change my bank account, then everything will be, and start bringing the focus inward. So starting to engage and commit to a process of self-inquiry. What's going on inside me? What do I need? How do I feel? How am I being? And you know, that is a continuous everyday way of being in the world. So if I were going to say a first step, that would be a big first step, because once somebody starts really looking inward in that way and living in that inquiry, you know, they learn a lot about themselves, and it's a real meeting of oneself. So I don't think transformation can happen until you have begun to meet yourself where you are. So I would definitely say that's the first step, and that, you know, journaling is a really good way to do that. Getting into a daily practice of using your journal to inquire about how you are and what's going on for you. Meditation, breath work, anything that invites you to go inward and really meet yourself. And then I always say this one, and everyone hates it, slowing down. We move really, really fast because it's a great distraction. So slowing down forces us to be with ourselves, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. So, but that's when transformation can occur. When we're in the present.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. You know, I know this within myself, you know. The more time I have to just be, the better I feel. Like, I really notice it now. And I don't know whether that's, you know, age, becoming a mother, you know, just probably an amalgamation of things. But for me, the slow, simple, you know, the routine, pick up my daughter, we have dinner. And at 7 o'clock, I sort of tend to listen to something. Maybe I watch an episode or something. And I go to bed. You know, it's such a simple existence, but it allows me the rest that I need to live, not survive, to live, you know, to feel like I'm living. Mm. And it took me a long time. I remember a teacher in India, I had my sort of eat, pray, love moment, you know, went to India on my own for a couple of weeks to find myself. And he noticed that I listened to earphones, I had my earphones in all the time. And he said, "What are you running away from?" And it hit me, and it you know, my eyes are welling up saying
wow.
it, because it was like, of course, that's, I just always had something going on, whether it was music or something yeah. in the ears, because I was running away from that stillness. And, you know, yes. then, you know, completely transformed and became a nutritionist and a coach. And I notice it now in others. It's, okay, what's this busyness that we're seeing here, you know?
Yes, yes. Oh, I totally identify with that. So beautiful. It makes me think of a poem. I read it at the end of my retreats. It's called Hokusai Says, and there's one line in the poem when he goes, "Everything is alive. There, everything is alive. The wood is alive. The trees are alive. Everything is alive. All we need to do is let life move through us." Even if you're just sitting on the sofa, staring out the window and watching the ants on the veranda, let life move through you. Mm. And I just find that so beautiful. We move so fast, and we're seeking and searching and grabbing and grasping, and we forget the beauty of being in the moment and just allowing life to move through us. And, you know, to just sit and look at the trees, or to just sit and do nothing. That's meditation. That is transformation.
Yeah.
'Cause you have to meet yourself, and you have to be present. And actually, the only place that life exists is in the present. Everything else is in the past or the future, and that's memory and mind. So slowing down, I think that's why lockdown has been both painful and transformative, because God, did it force everyone to slow down.
absolutely yeah. And I think you're right, it was equally sort of painful and, you know, a bit of an awakening for many. And isn't that just such a sweet spot to be in most of the time, you know, like, oh, okay, well, something going on, but I'm seeing it as this, and you know, it's a sign that we're growing and expanding. And, you know, it's, for me, that's a really beautiful place to be. What are your own rituals, daily, weekly, monthly?
Well, I definitely have regular rituals. I wish I could say that it was daily now, but with two young kids and lockdown, I definitely do my best to get at least one in. But I like to sit and meditate. I have a little ritual with my cards and my Palo Santo, and my I have some rape and some medicines that I got in the jungle. That for me is my ceremonial time of really connecting with myself. I love to run in nature. And like your teacher in India, my favorite is to run with no headphones in. So just to go and run with my breath and the trees, and I find that particularly peaceful nowadays. What other rituals? Breath work has become really important for me. I'm actually training to be a facilitator right now, and I must say, conscious connected breathing is so simple. We all have that tool, but goodness, we forget how to breathe. Yeah, those are my rituals, really. And then just trying to just be with my children when I can, without doing much else. Just trying to be present with them when I'm not working. Those are golden moments.
Yeah. I really agree. You know, breath work's been something that I've been really exploring a lot more in sort of recent months. Sort of really shifting into the it just into it, you know. It's sort of such a simple tool that we have, that it can be transformative in so many ways. So I'm with you. Thank you so much, Nikki. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. And I suppose my last question, the podcast is, you know, called The Magnetic Woman. What does being a magnetic woman mean to you personally?
It's interesting. If you'd asked me that a couple years ago, I probably would have had a picture in my mind of, you know, the ultimate magnetic woman, and that I had to become her somehow, you know, and she's shiny and she's strong. And but actually now what I see in the magnetic woman is a woman who really is at home in herself and radiates that peace from inside, that everything about her just is at home in her own skin. And the magnetism radiates from within. So for me, that I believe that is every single one of us. We have that is our truth. So the magnetism is just this beautiful radiating vibration from inside.
Yeah, the power is within us, each and every one of us. Wonderful. Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you in the world?
I'll be living in New Zealand, but you can find me on my website, www.nikkiclinch.com. I have a new podcast coming out in October called the Soul Surgery Podcast. I have a new membership community for those who want to work with me in continued integrative maturation. It's called the Awakening Collective. Everything is on my website, or you can find me on Instagram, Nikki_Clinch. I share there regularly. I hope to meet lots of you. So thank you, Pandora. I feel kind of moved sitting here speaking with you. I'm sitting here thinking, goodness, we've grown up. We grew up. Look at us.
I know, we really did.
It's beautiful. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that podcast as much as I enjoyed recording it. Nikki is a really dear friend of mine, and I wish her all the best. And I definitely recommend pre-ordering, following, and then once she announces it, pre-ordering that book of hers, because it will be brilliant. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please do leave me a review or share it with your friends, both of which I would be incredibly grateful for. And tune in next week for the next episode, where we're talking about the moon and transformation with another dear friend, actually, Wolf Sister. Thanks so much for listening.